Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
Arrow Sports sponsors Sky Blue Stories, and if you have found it hard or it's been hard to find your perfect sports jerseys, never mind. Head to www.arrowsport.com.au. From football to basketball, netball to rugby, Arrow Sport has you covered. Right now on Instagram, catch their latest designs and prototypes at @arrow_sportau.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much. And thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. That's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
Sydney FC are into their third grand final in a row, fourth in 5 years, after a convincing yet slightly nervy semi-final triumph over Adelaide United at a very blustery Cogra Jubilee Oval on Saturday night. Yes, the kind of conditions that make you long for a return to Moore Park and a fully enclosed stadium. Here to take you through that and much, much more is the Sky Blue Stories team and Mr. Andrew Redmayne a bit later on. Gents, g'day, welcome, hi.
I love him.
You do?
I love him.
Who doesn't?
He's so good.
Apparently, your mum's a fan as well.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Sure. And I'm here as well.
You're here as well?
And yeah.
We try to forget. Huh? I drink till I forget you're here.
Yeah. I do too. I'm here.
Do we need to change seats?
Yes.
Gosh.
Yes. Best
classic,
use.
Classic Sky Blue Stories. Classic Sky Blue Stories intro. Speaking of intro, we have a new Patreon, gents.
Do we?
The wonderful Toby.
No, I thought it was Andrew Redmayne.
No. He's joined our OnlyFans.
He almost took his shirt off for us. That was quite fun.
Hey, that was just for the pod.
And you thought he wouldn't know what OnlyFans was.
Yeah, he's innocent. He's so nice.
Yeah, no, he took his shirt
off. A bit like me. New Patreon, Toby, welcome, mate. Thank you so much for joining us. Thanks again to all of our patrons who have seen us through the last, it's probably 9 or 10 months now. So we're very, very grateful for all of your ongoing support. Gents, before we get into Around the Grounds, we're happy? We're happy with that performance, Adelaide United?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the result more than ever, but performance-wise, a solid 7.5, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's high praise from you.
I know. So. Normally, I'm relatively measured.
Do you have chapped lips, or did you pawpaw cream beforehand?
It was very cold.
I was licking my lips lots.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that at the football, or just because it was windy?
After.
Nice.
And I'm not one to feel the cold, but even I had thermal pants, leggings on underneath my jeans.
They were tight.
Yeah. Thanks, Uniqlo. I've taken sponsors. And this puffy jacket was very cold and my wonderful Sydney FC scarf.
Absolutely.
I could have done with the beanie.
Absolutely.
Could have done with the beanie.
Yeah.
Good roll up though. Good roll up from the city siders considering all things.
It was wet.
It was.
But rather moist. Thankfully it didn't really rain throughout the game. There was a little bit towards the end, but it was very bearable.
100%. 100%. Let's go around the grounds, and the topic that will hopefully be answered by the time most people are listening to this is where and when are we going to play a grand final show?
We won't harp on this too long because it has been flogged to death, the $64 million question today, flogged throughout the socials, the forums, the internets. Where will this being played? We've heard Melbourne and then it might be Sydney. I've even heard Canberra. Has this orange zone, red zone people more cases and this and it's a little bit hard to keep up. Victoria government, Dictator Dan. I don't know.
I will do dirty things to Dan Andrews to let me into Victoria.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you get on the beers?
I would get on all fours.
Yeah, I get the reference.
And drink beers?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But like the football or soccer player in me was like, okay, they finish first and they probably deserve it.
Yeah.
But fuck them, I want it in Sydney so I can go.
I don't mind it's in Melbourne, I just want to be able to go.
Yeah.
Which at one point today I was very excited about and then I very quickly...
Do you like it?
Did you lose your boner over it?
I did.
Do you like it?
It was folly.
That it gets played in a different stadium each year depending on who's won it? Or would you prefer like an NRL where it's always
at
Stadium Australia,
I like
wherever?
I like the home team thing.
And you say like NRL, but it's like the Champions League.
AFL.
It's like, yeah.
Yep.
Well, Champions League is slightly different because you don't win hosting rights, do you?
Yeah.
Like as a club.
No, well.
It's chosen, the city is chosen, not the club.
No, like when Liverpool won it in Istanbul, they played AC Milan.
That's right.
Yeah, but Atletico Madrid won the right to host it in their stadium rather than the Bernabeu.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. Anyway, so hopefully.
That was the one we lost.
Yeah. Hopefully by the time people start to hear this through their ears, we have an idea of where it is, and we can then start to sort out a, you know, originally it was supposed to be Saturday night, and then we're hearing Sunday 4 o'clock. I don't know if that's wise with state of origin at 8 o'clock. I know it's a different time, different state, but you know, we kind of want to own
to a hard basket.
Yeah, but anyway, it's going to be played.
It'll be played sometime. On a day at a time, and we'll win
on a day ending in Y.
Yes.
Look, and again, something else I don't want to harp on too much because it's we're just happy, glad and relieved that the fellow who needed emergency medical assistance in the Cove is happy and well and made it home well. And just, you know, we wax lyrical a lot about the Cove and just the fantastic support that they give. But thank you so much for their patience and assistance during that period. They were absolutely wonderful and very understanding. And then once everything was solved and, you know, things were in a better place, the chanting and cheering went up again. And thank you so much to the Cove. They're amazing, those fellas and ladies.
Something else I want to add to that commentary on the Cove is shout out to Winston, new young capo.
New?
Newish. Newish?
You get upset at that.
Well, not new, but like, you know, not as old as Slowey. But was leading a fair few chants in Club Cogra before the game.
Cogra Clubhouse.
Whatever it's
called. Nice venue.
And absolutely had the place pumping and roaring. I know I came up to you and said g'day before the game kicked off, but massive shout out to Winston. He's absolutely killing it. And to be quite fair, I think has come on in leaps and bounds. He really controlled the room. He's really controlling the Cove. The mood that's set in there is just absolutely brilliant, and it's really cool.
Great job by the Cove as well with running the raffle earlier on that Addy was looking after. It.
No. I've got no nice things to say about Addison.
Oh, because he didn't win anything.
Yes.
but I also like how the Cogra Clubhouse even just was happy for Winston and the fellas in the Cove to
get
that champ going and, you know, They could understand the day, what day it was for us, and just to get on board and get along with it was really great.
Well, they've also put something up on their Facebook page saying it was a pleasure to host you.
Yes, I did see that.
So that was quite nice.
It's good to have that relationship, definitely, and obviously they benefit from it as well.
Yeah.
Lads, breaking news.
Oh.
No, just messing with you.
Okay.
You're going to do that again later, aren't you?
Thank you.
Next bit, our beloved son, Danny Vukovic, has signed for a new club. NEC Nijmegen. Somebody let me know if I'm getting that.
Nijmegen. I think.
A Dutch side who was playing in the second tier in Dutchland, but has just gained promotion to the Eredivisie for the 2021-22 season. So he's playing for the promoted club. Fantastic news.
Get a good workout then.
Yep. He might be busy a lot with a team that always gains promotion, that battle to stay up. But Vuka loves a challenge.
He does. And another opportunity in Europe, which, you know, after having to leave Genk, could have been a bit out of reach. But he's kept himself fit and obviously made it a super, super impression.
He's a fit boy.
In Belgium before heading over there. So well done, Vuka. That's awesome news. And another couple of years in Europe for him.
And gents, maybe I've started to turn the tide a bit on our Costa Barbarousas.
After you got the black eye in IKEA.
Yeah, the AVO is done. All right, that's
it's over.
But maybe I've got Costa.
Why? Why do you say that?
Opta Jason. I don't know which is those is his first names, but Opta.
Yeah. The naming convention thing for Opta. Yeah.
Look, the last
shit joke.
Danger. Yeah. Shit joke. I hate their one word ending of tweets. You know, sublime. Oh, danger.
Is that a habit they do?
Prolific.
Oh, yeah.
Stop it, Opta.
Jason, anyway, stop it, Jason.
No, all of them. Maybe all I've the got
Costa. Costa has been great the last couple of months. Ever since I've seen a bit of a change in formation, Costa coming naturally wider, which he's just so adept at. He's brilliant and much more dangerous. He's been quite fantastic. And Opta Jason has informed us that he's had 184 touches in the opposition box this season, the most by any other player in the competition.
That is so large
if
danger.
You look at that,
that's a lot of touches.
That's a lot of touches. So maybe
Charles touched 184 times.
You know,
in the box.
Maybe he's a lot more threatening and having more of an impact on the game than what we realise.
What do you mean, we, Sean?
We
that I realise.
Right. Okay. Thank
I'm
you.
With you.
Yes,
to
please.
Be fair.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank
please
you. Correct. Got a bit of solidarity.
Sandra will be listening, and yeah. She'll be very upset if you don't realise.
Well, actually, speaking of humble pie.
Yes.
Are we done with the Costa Barbosa
subject? I was going to say maybe 100 of those 184 touches has come since he's come a little bit more wider and playing a bit more natural role. But
you'd have to ask Jason.
I'll get on top of Opta. Yeah, what are you going
to
say?
There are things to be on top of. Yeah. I don't know if Opta Jason's one of them. A-League Coach of the Year nominees are out.
Oh, what the?
Warren Moon, Alan Stadjic, Patrick Kisnorbo. Interesting shout out. That the person, the coach, who is looking to make A-League history with a three-peat, has already made history by being in the grand final three times in a row, is not in the list.
I'd like to know the justification.
So I've got that for you in a minute after we get your initial reaction.
Why do you put me on the spot?
No, because I'm going to get Jonathan's as well.
Oh,
you're
okay,
not special.
Oh.
All right. It's interesting. Kisnorbo has been included for the same reason why Corica should have been included, in that some would say that Corica shouldn't be included because, you know, he's piggybacked on the back of Arnie and followed, you know, that path that Arnie already set up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you could argue that with Kisnorbo.
Absolutely.
That he's just jumping on what – yeah, did last year. And, okay, they're back-to-back grand finals, which is fantastic. Well, we've had back-to-back-to-back grand finals. So why doesn't Stevie get some recognition for that? Whether he wins Coach of the Year or not, fair enough, but at least just to be in amongst that top three, that group. But I know knowing – not that we're best mates, hang on, maybe it could be Steve, but invite me over, Sandra, for dinner.
It's not you.
Well, all of us. I don't. He won't care that he's not nominated.
No.
Yeah, he wouldn't be kicking stones around Cogger or whatever.
But at the same time, like, I don't think he's won it any year that he's made the grand final so far.
Mm.
I don't even know if he was nominated last year. Like you said, Eric Mombert won Coach of the Year last year,
despite losing and
not winning the premiership.
Yeah, and didn't even get to the grand final.
As I said last year, and I saw a few people say today when the nominees were announced, what has Corica got to do?
Yeah, fair enough.
Not win the championship every year. He's been a
come last one year
and then
come
improve.
Back.
Like,
and so when you put his achievements in the context of three in a row, going for a three-peat, three grand finals in a row, blah blah blah, very impressive. Now, the reason why he's not included in this list, as confirmed by at A-League.
Oh,
so the official A-League Twitter account
they responded
is not up to Bozza.
Oh, no.
To Bozza.
Yeah.
Because Bozza went, what? Steve Corica.
Yeah, I saw
should
Bozza.
Be
I know
here,
Michelle
right?
was asking to, yeah.
At The Real Bozza. Hey, Boz. The A-League Coach of the Year is voted on a 3-2-1 basis by each A-League head coach at the end of the regular season. Coaches are unable to vote for themselves, which means these three are in a list as voted by a board of their peers.
So no one likes Steve Corica
because
he wins all the time?
Just out of spite.
Yeah.
Tall poppy syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. And that's the thing that gets me. Say what we want on our stupid little podcast and, you know, whatever. You know what I mean, right?
They're not that little.
For the fact that his own peers and, you know.
I'm quite tall.
I'd like to see a 4-2-3-1 or a 4-3-3 just like the next person, right? And Costa Barbarossa out wide and whatever. You can't deny the man's achievements, and to have a bunch of other coaches then go, oh, you know what, you've made three grand finals in a row and you've got the potential to win three in a row unlike any other coach.
Oh, isn't that crazy?
That's absolutely
You've already
atrocious.
Won too much. We don't want you winning anything else.
It's just nuts.
It's very strange.
It's very strange.
I'm sure of those three gents, who do you reckon it would go to just quickly?
Kiznorbo.
It'll probably go to Kiznorbo.
Yeah, I reckon it might have been Stadge, but then when he jumped
ship. I'd
like
to see Stadge win it. No offense to Warren Moon. But
who is Warren Moon?
Brisbane. But why is he there ahead
done all right.
of like, that's no offense to Warren Moon, but.
Warren Moon's not listening.
I reckon
to this.
He's more or less
and
taken
Mrs.
the
Warren
spot.
And Warren Moon isn't listening to this. So
might be.
I reckon Warren's taken the spot of what it should have been Corriker. And he's just kind of going like,
cool.
Making up the numbers of what should have been Steve's spot amongst that three. But
Look, there's a lot of A-League commentators out there, including Mark Bosnich, who are outraged that he's not on the list.
It was very good to see Bozer actually stepping in there and having comment actually, so that was good on him. Good on him for doing that.
Get him on the
podcast. Oh, he was very busy on Twitter today, Bozo.
He was, he was actually.
Can you ask what does XMB mean? I think that's
you have to ask him.
Mark Bosnich.
Kiss Mark Bosnich.
It's literally just Mark Bosnich.
Do you reckon? He's never revealed it. You have to ask him in person. He said,
"Okay."
Yeah. It's literally kiss Mark Bosnich.
Okay,
that's it. Like literally trying to get in all our pants.
I'm but cool. Why is it on every tweet?
Because he's like a dad that says, "Hi, son. Would you like sausages for dinner tonight? Love, Dad."
Mm-hmm.
He's that person that signs off every
sausages.
Text message.
I had sausages for dinner last night, actually.
Oh, could have given you an Italian one.
You could have.
That was a dick reference, wasn't it?
Beef.
You reckon?
I prefer beef.
All right. I got a little bit of... All right, let's get this pod back on track. Come on, fellas.
Apparently, one of our favourite players is set to enter contract renewal.
Where did you see this?
Well...
Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Where I get all my information.
Was it your phone book?
I don't like to reveal my sources.
No, neither.
But barbecue is my favourite.
Barbecue? Oh, God.
It's just a shit joke. Right. Sorry. Well, just delete. No. Thank you.
Where's the...
Thank you. Try the steak.
So, AC.
That's what I was after.
Argentinian Messi entering contract renewal talks. Apparently, we're in conversations with him. I saw a bit of... unfair
indignation
about him being re-signed. I'm like,
is that a word?
It is.
Sorry, what idiot?
I know please. I couldn't agree more. He's been amazing this season.
Sorry, I just got all Flintstones. I just went yibbity yibbity yibbity.
And ever since stepping into the midfield role pairing with Bratz, he's grown. And
there were what are you saying, Sean, is because we're dancing around it a bit, there were people that said, no, let's not do that.
Yeah, he's overrated. He hasn't done much this season. We've got the likes of apparently Max Burgess coming in and Callum Neuenhoff. Like, you know, let's promote more youth.
Find me at the Star this Saturday or Sunday and I will fight you, whoever you are. That is absurd.
Like, oh, what if Anil comes back? I'm like, I think Anthony's presumptuous, but I think he's quite happy at Sydney. He's getting regular game time. He's in a winning club and a winning team and a winning culture.
Him and his wife's family.
Sky Park.
I love it.
I think he's nice place at Bondi. Outside of, say, Bratz and Ninko, he'd probably be my top three. And we'll talk more about our postseason stuff and the wrap-up. He'd be probably my top three players this season.
We spoke to Redders a bit earlier and mentioned underrated players. I mean, AC is probably one of the most underrated players in the league, and he could go chasing much bigger coin at other clubs.
Absolutely.
Much bigger coin, but... you know, if he wants to stay, mate, roll out the red carpet.
Well, and that's, you know, that's probably part of the equation is he could be earning more.
He could. I think he absolutely could.
And I think with Adam Lafondra coming back, I think our salary cap's probably tapped.
We're probs right up there.
Unless we get that right David Beckham tier.
Well.
I think that's going to happen from the last APL news I saw.
Yeah. So... if you think Anthony Caceres doesn't deserve a contract renewal...
switch off now.
Go sit on the hill, your dog.
Yeah. your dog's on the hill. That's it.
Before Very we get good. Into the semi-final review, gents, and before we share our little Andrew Redmayne chat, there was some NPL on the weekend and another heartbreaking...
Jimmy. not this one.
Jimmy, what happened, mate?
Didn't put enough goals in.
Yeah.
Took too many goals.
Conceded too many as well.
Took. Yeah. Bad game of soccer.
Yeah. Young boys. Game of two halves.
Mm.
Credit to the boys.
We'd go again.
Mm. Who would want to be a coach?
I
Jimmy must, if he has any hair left, he must be ready to scalp himself. can I say that?
Yeah, I think the Mohicans are okay with it.
Yeah, all right. Ooh. The Last of the Mohicans, good movie. It was a 2-2 draw with Manly United. There was a 94th, literally one of the last kicks of the game. good old youngster Corey Holman, brother of Jake, got on the score sheet first, and then Gerwood Reich, the fourth Reich, came and an absolute screamer of a shot from outside the box, an absolute tracer bullet, top bins, with absolutely wonderful shot, and he got into the team of the week.
I want no part of that joke.
I think that's fine. I don't know about that.
It was a screamer.
Yeah. That's 2 weeks in a row, Jonathan, of stoppage time.
Did he just go, I don't care about your borders, and march that ball right in?
That's it. Right into the Sedenton land.
Blitzkrieged it.
But that's 2 weeks in a row.
This is pollen.
Stoppage heartbreak. Last week, Olympic to beat us 1-0. This week to go 2-2. I think Jimmy summed it up. You know, he said that we can say every week that it's learning moments, but at some stage we do need to learn. It's about our fifth or sixth time this year that we've thrown away maximum points. And that's what I think, you know, I've said before, Jonathan, we're better than what last place suggests. So it is very, you know, they had a midweek FFA Cup game, so they were quite
Manly
sluggish
which
they lost.
And they had a lot of changes in their starting lineup in the NPL game. It was a really big chance to get 3 points. And like you said, Sean, I'm starting to get concerned about that relegation for the NPL team. It would be a massive setback having to play against a weaker opposition and then having to win the NPL 2 to get promoted again. It's going to be tough.
Does this? I don't know these things. I'm not hoping for this. I'm not suggesting it should be a thing. But I'm asking out of curiosity. Does this put Jimmy Van Weeren's job at risk?
No.
He's cool. I don't think so.
Not at all. He's a fantastic coach.
He is, and he's got a fantastic bond with the squad and with the players. I think it's...
Like I said, not suggesting it should be an option.
There'll be KPIs in place, but I don't know if table position would be a KPI for him because it's about the development
promotion
of the players,
to the first team.
Exactly. And look at how many we've taken. You know, we saw young Sigicic on the bench in the semi-final. So
talking about relegation, Jonathan, looking at the club championship, which is times 4 points with the first grade.
They don't use that anymore for relegation.
What do they use?
It's just up and down.
No.
Yeah, they stopped doing that a couple of years ago.
Really?
Yep.
Years, Sean. Yep. Years.
No. So last year there was no relegation because COVID. It was meant to be first year of up and down, so unless they've changed back. But I don't think the championship has anything to do with it anymore.
Then why bother having it up on the website?
Yeah, it's just a trophy to win.
Is it? No.
Yeah. Sadly.
I got excited because we're on 116 points, Northbridge 100, Southern Sharks.
So our under-20s and 18s used to just keep us up a lot of the time. But, yeah, unfortunately it's now just ladder position in NPL 1.
Crap.
Yeah.
Well, funnily enough,
big game.
Massive game now, if that's the case now, Jonathan. Sunday, 26th of June, kickoff at 3:30 at Seymour Shore, which actually could collide with potential grand final, so it'd be interesting with numbers. But anyway, previous game we had to them earlier-ish in the season was a 2-2 draw. Funnily enough, Swibble and Wood were the goal scorers in that game.
Outstanding.
And they won't be there. Oh. So they need to get that win against Southern Sharks, which is 1 point ahead of them, I believe, on the NPL table. So, boys, tighten up that defence. You can score goals, but just work your butts off in defence. I know I'm telling you something you already know.
It's just late in the game, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you reckon anyone from the NPL squad listens to this podcast?
Paddy Asbeck does.
There's actually more in that squad, I think, than not.
Lads, I love you.
Yeah, it's just closing out that back end of the game, those big moments towards the back end of the game. Which I know they know, and Jimmy's will tell them if he hasn't already. So best of luck with that down at Seymour Shore, which is an awful synthetic pitch to play on.
It needs relaying, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So, look, I'm confident the boys can get a win. It might be a little bit of a high-scoring game.
It's such an important game. Such an important game for the guys to get some confidence and and obviously and move up that table, Sean. Yeah.
And isn't that exciting about promotion and relegation?
It is. I know. It's scary.
Yeah.
It's scary.
From a neutral
point of view. But like you said, Sean, they're a much better side than where they are. So hopefully towards the end of the season they start pulling some 90-minute performances together.
Absolutely.
Earlier this evening for us, we were lucky enough to snag some time with all-time most cleanest ever Sydney FC goalkeeper, Andrew Redmayne. He keeps so many things clean, including sheets of football games. And he joined
us.
What
else does he
clean?
Keep.
Sounds like his towels, because he's got a towel rack.
Okay, yes.
So Andrew Redmayne joined us from quarantine in, I'm assuming, Sydney, where he spoke to us about the international squad, the apprehension in going away, flying out of Sydney, going to a different place, coming back, life in quarantine, and the odd moments he experienced watching a football game that Ryan McGowan saw from Scotland before he did. Here's our chat with Andrew Redmayne.
Joining us from hotel quarantine in Sydney is the, well, incumbent Sydney FC goalkeeper and one-time guest already for Sky Blue Stories. It's our big blue man, Andrew Bluemayne, Andrew Redmayne. Welcome to Sky Blue Stories again. Thanks for joining us, mate.
Thanks for having me back.
Our pleasure is all ours. Pleasure is all ours. Mate, congrats on the cap and the clean sheet versus the Might of Nepal. Your first time in quarantine, is that right? How are you getting by?
Netflix and chilling and
hey, you dog.
No, there's not much else to do. Yeah, a few crosswords here and there in the morning. I get about a 20-minute window of sun because I'm in a south facing.
Any fitness regime, you know, 50 burpees followed by 50 squats, you know,
frog stretches.
Yeah.
There's a bike right here, but it's a just an extravagant towel rack. So
gathering dust.
Yeah.
Gathering dust.
I tell you what, we could use some of those frog scratches on our own things.
We could.
Goalkeeper warm up.
We could. I could use them just to get a bit fitter. Mate, like I said, thanks again for joining us. How were your travels? You managed to stay well, stayed out of trouble.
Yeah, touch wood. Hopefully the next two tests come up negative, and I can join in the celebrations, albeit a bit late, with winning another grand final.
Was it weird traveling when you know the rest of the country kind of isn't, and I'm going away, and I know I'm coming back, and
yeah, I said this to my mate when I got over there. The plane was taken off from Sydney and I just got this sudden sinking feeling of realization that, well, holy hell, I'm traveling in a pandemic and I'm leaving my family and who knows what will happen. And, you know, rules could change, borders could close, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, you just never really know. So I got that sinking feeling, but yeah, we're back in Australia now. And
it's a bit like us at the moment, trying to figure out when the grand final is going to be and whether we can travel interstate or not.
Yes. Let's
just
equate,
the same, right?
Equate our issues getting to Melbourne with Andrew leaving his wife and young child.
No, even on that, I mean, I've had three texts today that all said it's been confirmed and all are different. And so
we wait and see. Hopefully by the time this comes out and most people are listening, there is confirmation of where that is. But that's all good. Quick one about national duty. Redders did, and well, this might be privileged information, but when you got the call to say, yep, you're on the plane, were there any promises about a starting gig, or was that all after you got there?
No, it was kind of all after you got there. I mean, I did kind of like my chances a little bit. I mean, I was playing regularly. I was playing well, and you're always kind of touted in the national teams. You've got to be playing and you've got to be playing well to be in the national team. So obviously Vukra didn't have a club at the time, more or less. Matty only had a handful of games. So when Mitch pulled out, I thought I was a real crack of getting some game time.
Absolutely. And did the country very, very proud, mate, and Sydney FC. So thank you for that. Mate, you would have seen, let's talk a bit of Sydney FC. You would have seen the Brisbane game and now the semi-final against Adelaide on the weekend just gone. What have you made of the boys' performance?
Yeah, outstanding. The Brisbane game feels like a lifetime ago already.
Yeah,
I thought we were outstanding in that game. Defended extremely well, especially Tommy. First game in a while at that level. He played a handful of NPL games knowing that I was going to be away, so... Yeah, he did extremely well and kind of dealt with the pressure that would come with such a responsibility like that. So, yeah, all credit to the boys. I know it's a cliche, but, yeah, that Brisbane game was outstanding, especially with a daytime kickoff up there in Brisbane. So I know it's always tricky. Semi-final.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Tommy as well. You're worried about him coming in and, you know, snaking your position, maybe... Cacks to the kneecaps when you come back, something like that.
Yeah, I've already done more interviews about Tommy than no, he's doing really well. I wish him all the best. I mean, it's a fantastic opportunity for him, and you know, I've always said it. I'm not one in a team sport to play an individual game. I wholeheartedly love the team and the team environment. I much prefer celebrating as a squad and as a team holding up a trophy as opposed to any other individual accolade. So I'm just rooting the boys home on the weekend.
It's a unique proposition if we do win that it will be almost an entire squad effort for the year, which is something pretty special.
Yeah. I mean, you got to have a good squad to win a championship. So it really highlights the fact this year.
But as we're playing your old club, Heart/City, I'm assuming Sunday, Saturday, let's just say this weekend. It's a club that you've played the second most games for. Can you tell us a bit about your time whilst there? You know, you rub shoulders with some quite quality players, you know, a certain David Villa and the like. So how do you look back at your time at City?
Pretty fondly. I was very fortunate to run into Sydney FC Hall of Famer Clint Bolton down there. And fantastic mentor for me coming from Brisbane and then also kind of starting to find my way into being a number one regularly. It was nothing but support and nothing but kind of guidance while I was in the sticks and he was at the club. So, you know, our friendship still goes on and we're still in communication. And I think that was probably... the foundation of my career right there. And, I thank Butzer and I thank the club in general.
And I've been told I have to ask because there's a couple of fanboys here and I got the short end of the stick.
You know.
What was David Villa like? Did you get to know him at all? Did he, you know, have a big role to play in the squad, or is he more of a, you know, perhaps other big names that we've seen come through, other clubs that might be blue-coloured also, perhaps of Italian origin that kept to themselves
perhaps.
And wanted maybe, rumour has it, their own, maybe, perhaps, it's rumoured changing room.
No, what was he like?
You know, he was more than happy to kind of be in the change room, be in the gym. He had his own, coach, physio, strength conditioning coach that he had with him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he did a bit of everything, and but I think that's understandable, seeing as though he was transitioning from one season, stopping on with us, and then going straight through to the next one. So
yeah,
I guess it was a bit hard for him, and he did need someone to manage that. But he was a fantastic guy, and you could approach him and ask anything you wanted, and he'd answer him honestly. And
is it true that he never scored against you in training? Is that true?
No chance.
No chance he scored, right?
Yeah. No chance. The ball. Kicking them all out.
Now, Redders, once while you were at City, you know, it was hard, and I moved over to Melbourne City. The City Group came in. Was that change gradual, or was it almost instantaneous overnight?
Yeah, it was overnight. It was it was quite surreal, and how quickly it did change. We went from training on waterlogged which is covered in duck shit. Oh, it was horrible. And then the next kind of in 6 months' time, where you're on a, you know, half natural, half synthetic training pitch that was like carpet, and yeah, it was amazing, absolutely amazing. And yeah, it was a good experience, I think. Yeah.
Oh, we should see that happening. Oh, we've got good facilities as it is at Macquarie. It's decent, but, you know, Sky Park coming in, it'll be a similar kind of experience there for you again.
Absolutely.
Have you requested a goalkeeper's room?
No.
Oh, it should be a special room for the gloves and, you know, all the kit. And
like a man cave, but a goalkeeper's cave, just with Levi and Tommy.
Goalkeepers union only.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're a weird bunch, so you need your own little quarters. Oh, and I mean that endearingly.
He's now literally a friend of the pod. You just
I'm sending him a bottle of scotch as we speak.
Yeah, exactly. Just every quarantine some hotel Japanese in Sydney, hope for the best. Now, look, we very, very much claim you now. We call dibs, ownership,
100%.
No take backsies, bad luck. So we know the heart days are a bit of a memory. But you've now got most clean sheets for a Sydney FC goalkeeper, most A-League appearances for a Sydney FC goalkeeper, and you've actually overtaken Clint Bolton, who you just mentioned as well. Given that you are so now entrenched in the club, how are you going to hold up on Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be hard. I'm not going to lie. Even watching the semi-final was tough. Especially you got no one to bounce off. And we had a Sydney FC group chat for the Q8 boys with Gowser and Buster in there. And they were texting. And then all of a sudden I looked at my phone and it said penalty. And I was like, oh no, I'm behind. And my coverage was 4 minutes behind. Oh, wow. Gowser's in Scotland and my coverage is still 4 minutes behind his. Like, what on earth? Oh. So, anyway, I managed to fix it up and yeah, it was good. But it was strange having to talk about the game over text and not having anyone here with me again, and being such a big game, you can't be involved with the team, you can't really get in the change and absorb it. I mean, if you're an injured player, you still get to go to the ground and whatnot, but this is kind of a stone wall, just not really involved, which is hard. But
at least there is a lot of football on around the world at the moment, I guess. So at least you've got Euros and Copa America and everything else to catch up on once you wake up as well, I guess.
Sport in general at the moment is phenomenal. AFL, NRL, NBA finals.
Everything.
Are you a golfer too?
I do. I don't mind golf. I find it hard to watch on TV.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
On around. I don't mind it.
Same. I heard Bratz is a bit upset that you came back, Redders, because he doesn't want to face you on the golf course again.
Yeah, we're going to talk about driving distance.
Nah, exactly.
you mentioned a lot of sports. Are you keeping a sleep schedule, or are you just going, screw it, I'm happy with 2 hours and I'll watch as much sport as I can while I can?
Yeah, it was the first few nights. I was a little bit jet lagged and I'd kind of wake up at 2 o'clock, and I was like, oh, you know, I've still got 2 weeks in. Get up and watch the Euros and whatnot. So, and then that just rolls in the copper, and before you know it, it's lunchtime, and may as well stay the rest of the day. So, I don't think I did my jet lag any favors.
Nah, are you following anyone in the Euros, mate?
Not particularly, just kind of general interest. I think my tip's England, if anyone.
Ooh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah. Very good. We do face Melbourne City this weekend. It would obviously be remiss of us not to talk about that game a little bit with yourself. We had a very entertaining and heartbreaking draw at Leichhardt Oval earlier in the year. Unfortunately, you had to stand up to a penalty in the 98th minute or something ridiculous like that. And we had a loss down in Melbourne, which, again, we sort of showed some fight and some comeback in the second half after going down to a few earlier on. As I said, the draw we actually played exceptionally well. I said to Bimby last week that I thought that was actually one of our best performances as a team for the whole season. Going to be a bit different without yourself, Buster, and Gowser, and obviously they've lost Curtis Good, Jamie McLaren, and Connor Metcalf. Where do you think we're going to be able to win it this weekend, mate?
our tens, I think. I think them losing Connor and perhaps Ninko coming back in will give us an edge.
I noticed you said perhaps there as well. Well done.
Yeah.
Well, Hartman will be happy with you.
Yeah, we got weapons all over the field, I think. I mean, even fullbacks, I mean, Kingy.
Mm. He's grown an extra leg the last couple of months. Like, he's been pretty
exceptional. I mean, he's the most underrated player in the league. I don't know how he's not even in the Socceroos talk kind of thing. So,
I've got Pat Wood for King. I do.
I don't know, but yeah, Kingy, and I think also Paulie filling in for Buster at right back. Yeah. If he gets that spot, I mean, amazing. And I mean, the top two as well. What more can you say?
If I can use a rugby league analogy, like our spine is relatively unchanged with Wilco, Rats and Caceres, and then on to Alfie and Bobo. And then you've got some, you know, little Serbian running around too. He's absolutely,
he's all right.
Perhaps will play.
He's all right at the round.
And then ABJ coming off the bench. So I think despite not having you three big fellas out, having those big three guys out, I think we'll do quite well come whenever we play this game.
Yeah, I think it just, again, highlights the culture and camaraderie we have in the change room and in the club, that you can lose three boys and you don't lose anything in terms of quality or playing style or, I guess, drive, I guess. So, yeah, I think it's just a
next man up mentality, yeah.
Potential for a three-peat as well. How underrated's Bimby for what he's achieved?
Yeah, I think he's the same. I mean, I think he's probably underrated because everyone looked at him and said, well, Graham Arnold laid the tracks and you just got to keep the train going. But you look at our squad now compared to when Arnold left, it's completely different. So he's had to recruit the majority of the squad, minus what you say the spine, and to keep the players in a headspace that he does and keep evolving the kind of minor tweaks in the formation and structures that we do play, to continue success in a league that it's just so up and down, it's really is quite phenomenal. And the boys really appreciate Bimby in what he does and what he brings to the table. And he really is the glue that's held the football department together, I think.
He strikes quite a calming figure on the sideline, right? I think back to the derby at Bank West, and he conceded a couple early goals and on the counter, and it was, fans were going crazy, and Bimby's there, leaning back, taking it all in, assessing, obviously, working through things in his head. Does he rip you a new one in the changing room? Not you per se, but Jekyll, the collective you.
Occasionally. They're probably not when you would expect them to be ripped. There's games where I think where we're going to absolutely read the riot act at halftime, and that's when you get a calm one, and then there's times where I think we're doing okay and then we get shreds torn off. So, I think the calm demeanour is a positive demeanour, and it works extremely well, I know, for my personality and the way I play. So, yeah, I'm all for him.
Brilliant.
Very good. Might put some quick-fire hot questions to you, Redders. Put some pressure on your teammates. I'm sure they'll love it.
Yeah.
Well, first off, give us a score. Give us a score for the grand final.
Give us a day first. And then give us a score.
What are the three texts you've got?
I'll look at I'll go with the most recent then. That should be finalised at Savo. Missed that train.
Missed that. That's gone. Thank you.
Hang on. Wrong.
How good.
The latest one's Sunday, but it has been flip-flopping. And the latest thing was it will be confirmed this afternoon, and it's now.
Yep, it's evening. It's evening. Yeah, so give us a score. Give us a score, mate.
I'm going to say we're going to score one each half.
Yeah,
I reckon we'll jack one in the first 10 and then we'll wrap it up in the last 15 and win 2-0.
Clean sheet. Ooh. Clean sheet for THB.
Yeah.
100%.
Can stop a ball.
Technical,
that boy.
Technical yeah. pencil. HB. very good. What about player of the match? Joel King and Luke Bratton were, I mean, everyone was pretty good in the semi-final, but Joel King and Bratzy running the middle there. I think some of the questions from the fans were how many Luke Brattons were on the field in that semi-final. Pick a Joe Marston medal winner for us, mate.
I'm going to go dark horse, Alex Wilkinson.
Nice.
I like that.
He's 7.5 out of 10 every game. Never puts a foot wrong.
Very, very good.
Very consistent.
Very good. And I would say pick a coach of the year, but unfortunately, Steve Corica isn't even nominated in the top three somehow by the A-League. So we'll just anoint him ourselves once again. Wasn't nominated last year either, and we won the Premier's plate and then the...
Well, here's a question. Is Joel King nominated for Young Player of the Year?
Yes, he is. Yep. Yep, it's between him, Alu Kwol, Ben Wayne.
Alu Kwol.
And there's one other.
He played 10 games, didn't he?
Yeah, well, exactly. And off the bench for most of it. Mm. Hopefully, Joel gets in the in that Oli Roo squad. Which
Joel wasn't nominated last year, was he?
Could have been, you know.
Was he?
Could have been. I don't know.
I'm not going that far back.
No, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Redders, one other one I wanted to ask you, which is a bit out of order, but Marco Tilio, he's been absolutely lighting up the league the last few weeks in particular. We saw his talent. You would have seen it, you know, on a daily basis nearly when he was training with the senior squad. But are you happy for Marco down there showing what he's capable of?
Yeah, over the moon. He's like many other young players, they just need an opportunity. They need consistent football. They need regular football. And Marco's found that and he's flourishing. So hats off to him.
He had some very kind words to say about the club after their semi-final win on the weekend. So it's good to know that we're still close to his heart, the old Christian Brothers Lewisham boy from Sydney. And I think, yeah, very, very, very bright future. Let's just hope we keep him quiet on the weekend. I'm sure the boys will do a stellar job of that. Andrew, thank you so much for your time tonight, mate. We hope we've helped you cure some quarantine boredom. I know you're not even halfway yet, unfortunately. And I know that you'll be missing your girls very much and that they'll be missing you. So, mate, from us to you, thank you so much. Enjoy watching the game on the weekend. And I'm sure we'll be celebrating another Sky Blue victory very, very soon.
Absolutely. 2-0.
So once again, thank you to Andrew Redmayne. Obviously, a positive and confident 2-0
prediction.
Score prediction there, yeah.
Hopefully we help cure some of his boredom as well, poor bugger.
Yes.
14
yes.
days.
So lots of Netflix and self-chilling, though.
Maybe a bit of podcast and chill.
I'd like to have Redmayne Netflix and chill with me.
Mm. Absolutely.
Grab onto that beard.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Get some Ben and Jerry's.
Ooh.
Ice cream.
Is that also a youth?
No, ice cream. It's ice cream goes well with movies. Come on, guys.
Some ice cream.
It's edible.
What's your favorite Ben and Jerry's?
Cookie dough.
Yeah. I like the peanut butter one.
Ugh. No. Peanut butter's a hateful flavor and peanuts and butters. No.
It's a
terrible spread.
Yeah.
All right.
It's the worst of the spreads. And if you don't agree with me, find me in the Star on Saturday or Sunday. And
that's
fight
two
me.
Fights now. You're going to have a long queue. Wow.
All right. If you hate Caceres and like peanut butter, I will take you.
There's nothing worse than a queue at a Ben and Jerry's, though, because you're like, no, I want that now.
Yeah.
Now. Mm. Anyway, A-League football, soccer versus...
Adelaide United.
Yes.
City of Churches. It was a... I always try and start off this sentence with an adjective to represent how we went. Strong. Strong 2-1. I was going to say solid.
Convincing?
Convincing. Strong and convincing 2-1 win against Adelaide. Goals to Bobo and Alfie's pen. Probably could have been 3-1 or even 4-1 if Alfie had converted his second pen. And
would have made life a bit easier, a bit more comfortable.
I did like that he took responsibility for it.
He did, yeah.
A good save, though. I mean, just keep it.
Well, it wasn't a great shot, to be fair. It wasn't in the corner. It was easily within arm reach, and it was lacked power that he usually has.
Yeah.
It was a carbon copy of his first one, and their goalkeeper guessed.
Talk about that. It'd be interesting, actually, when we go through those moments a bit later on. But it certainly was. It would have made life a bit more comfortable.
It would have sealed the gap. and then Harry late on, he should have put that way. Paddy made a great run.
Where was Harry?
He just went through his legs. A bit of a swing and a miss. But anyway, we're one match away from creating football history, becoming the first team to win, hopefully, possibly three consecutive A-League championships.
I'm excited.
Excited. As we're at the clubhouse early on, we all wait for that release of the lineup, and we saw that it was no Ninko. I thought, oh, no Ninko, no Paddy. But a late withdrawal through with a calf injury. Mm. ABJ stepped in into that number 10 role, more or less. Otherwise, it was an expected lineup with our Socceroo players gone. I don't want to say we did. We always miss Ninko, but how do I say
did
it?
Did we?
Yeah, I don't. How do I say it nicely? I don't want to be rude because he's so amazing.
No, I know what you're trying to say.
It was a seamless transition and a wonderful squad performance.
God, thank God you, Jonathan, he's in HR.
You're here. Yep.
This is how I say we didn't miss you, but officially we miss you.
Yes. Is that how I?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yep. Now, tell Sean he's fired. But in HR. Yeah. But in HR speak.
Is that going to be your third fight?
Start. I can't ask you to fire me because I'd have to quit.
Unfortunately,
it's going to come early.
Yeah, I don't have to wait till the weekend. Good on Sagigic for making the bench, even though he didn't get onto the field. Nice.
Yeah, that was really nice to see. Interesting. Look, it's interesting, but no Patrick Yazbek.
Yeah, I thought he might have had a bit more of a.
Do we think that maybe he sees Sagigic as a bit more of a attacking option if he was needed?
But when you've got Harry can be an attacking option, and you've got Ivanovic and Wood. You want three on the bench? Word. Anyway, just an idea. And then now Ninko's in a race to be fit. Do you think he's
daily updates.
I'm really enjoying those Instagram videos. They come to bed with me.
He's on that quad machine.
Look at his legs.
Do you reckon he's playing silly buggers, the club? Or
a little bit
ducks and drakes?
They seem pretty confident that he's going to be there, don't they?
Yeah, you're not putting out daily updates of the Serbs' recovery.
They seem pretty confident.
So then on the 11th hour to go.
Yeah, shit. All that work you saw? Fucking useless. No.
Wouldn't it be like 4D chess if the whole, he's actually not injured? Like Corica's just like, we don't need you to win the semi. Have a rest.
God, what a gamble, though. What a gamble.
That could have blown
And so Melbourne City could think he's coming back slightly injured.
Yeah, a little bit ginger.
Good work,
actually,
Steve.
Actually, Zulo hasn't been out all year.
I saw Zulo's on the weekend.
We've just been... What, seriously?
Yeah. Really?
How?
Yeah, coffee with him?
Got a special car park at the semi. And
Zulo
was there.
He was walking
did
out in his
g'day?
Nice suit. I did, yeah, because they asked my name and whatever else. And I said, the Jonathan thing. And the guy's like, sorry, what's your surname again? And like, if I say Zulo, will you let me in? And he's like, hey, mate, how you going? He's a good guy.
Yeah, okay.
Guess you know.
What did he taste like?
The beard, I think he still had some pasta in it.
Peanut butter.
Yeah. Oh, I hate peanut butter.
Yeah. All right. Fight me. Let's go through, gents, a little bit of the match summary.
You're going to be bloody and beaten.
I think the first
I can't fight.
10-ish minutes, I think we started off a tad slow. Adelaide certainly had a little bit more of the run of play in those first 10-ish minutes, which kind of culminated in a Strain's chance that flew over the... I think it nicked the crossbar.
It was a bit of a fluke, really.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Strain spent more time on the ground than on his feet on the weekend, to be fair.
But then we fast forward to the 25th minute, and Alfie, after a wonderful Costa run into the box.
Talk us through your thought patterns on the penalty, because I actually missed it live. And when I saw the first replay, I went, maybe he's just missed it.
I thought it was a stonewall pen.
Mm.
I had a pretty good view of it. Costas tried to take the touch around him, which he did, and then it was just cut down.
Mm.
Yeah, just fell in front of him. Mm. It was Lucas Neal in front of a dramatic Italian.
Ooh.
Oh,
wow.
Which I'm still not over.
I think Delianov is Macedonian.
Yeah, I think Chrissy from the Leeds League is a huge fan.
So...
We're going to delete
that. Hang on. No, it was Lucas Neal fell over in front of an Italian in the 2006 World Cup. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, the Adelaide guy. Sorry, yeah. I went into a white rage about the 2006 World Cup.
It's okay. You're and feeling very combative tonight, aren't you?
If you're Italian, fight me.
You're Italian.
Half.
Half Italian.
Yeah, you're right. You're Italian.
Only the bottom half. Hairy legs.
Yep. That's
it. Hairy legs.
Cankles. But then Alfie stepped up and absolutely dispatched the penalty in typical fashion.
Was it normal, typical fashion? Like I was expecting a bullet down the middle.
Down the middle, but you know, he's always quite clinical.
Went the right way. He did quite well.
Never in doubt. Until the second one, but
it was interesting. Interesting. I like the next highlight that you've put on there, Sean, because this came out of nowhere.
Yeah, King's shot.
Joel King busting down the left. You're expecting a cutback, or you're expecting him to find. Finally. He looked up, and then he just had a crack and forced a very good save from the keeper. I don't think the keeper had a great night. Obviously, gave the penalty away, but you know, he forced a very good save from him. Yep. It's something we haven't seen a lot from Joel King.
Yeah, a little bit uncharacteristic.
I do like Joel King.
Fast forward to another. Oh, that look, and we had a perfect view of our first. Oh, sorry, second goal, Bobo's goal.
Bobo,
absolutely. Switch of play from Caceres over to King.
Even though Bobo
gets the plaudits because he's the one that scored the goal, I think a lot of it has to go to King for that just pinpoint first time low, perfectly weighted. Cross pass right into the path of Bobo to put away. Joel King. Amazing. Lovely touch. It's just sublime.
It was a great team goal, James. I think I saw on Twitter someone say that, you know, every player, when it was released by Heward Bell, apart from Alfie, touched the ball in that goal.
Oh, really?
Just sublime. It's one of those goals that gets better every time you watch it. Such a great team goal. So, and again, it comes out of confidence from your left back, who previously, you know, start of the season, last season, didn't really have that. With the football that he's getting, he's now got that confidence. Mm. He's taking shots. He's putting beautiful assists in. He's taking players on.
He was never a bad defender.
No, right.
But defensively on the night, he was immense as well.
Oh God, he was a brick wall.
One-on-one tackles were just insane. He was fantastic.
But the thing with Joel King, he was never a bad defender. He just didn't get as forward as Zullo.
Yep.
But now it was
beautiful to watch. It really was. It was a really good goal.
Well done on Costa again for winning another penalty. I think the second penalty was a little bit unsure of if it was a pen to begin with.
They thought it was offside.
Yeah, thought it was offside at first.
Which he wasn't by a way, actually, when they finally put the lines up. I think the challenge was the penalty always. But, yeah, I think they called it offside, so the ref had to acknowledge the flag. It took a bit of time, that one.
Hence why we had a lot of out of time.
I've said this before on this pod. I think the last time I waxed lyrical about it was the Sydney Derby when Bobo had to wait like 3.5 minutes to take a penalty. The fact that took so long, again, you know, Alfie's there standing on the mark waiting.
Might be thinking, do I put it here? Do I put it there?
And it's been saved and it's, you know, not his most convincing penalty in the world. So I really just, it affects the flow of the game. And the right decision was made in the end and unfortunate. But why, do you think it was the conditions that Alfie was being a bit more cheeky with his placement and not doing his traditional blast?
Because you thought that the ball might be a bit greasy and it could just kind of fly off the boot.
I don't think I've seen him take a penalty that hasn't gone straight down the middle or into a top
kind
corner.
Kind of blasted it, yeah.
Right, you know? Corner. Yeah. Look, I don't want to use the word lazy, but it looked lackadaisical, right? It looked a bit casual. Yeah, was the word I was going for. It wasn't up to his standard, right? Mm. And look, he came out on Twitter and Instagram afterwards and said, "Oh, I made it hard for us," and it was a bit tongue in cheek, but yeah kind of did.
Yeah, sealed it.
All that needs to be said, I think, on it is wasn't up to his usual standard.
I think so. And look, I think Alf's the kind of bloke, if he gets a lineup for another one on the weekend, I don't think it'll faze him at all. No. I think he'll put it on the spot and he'll blast away. But yeah, I guess 10 to 15 minutes later, A Luke Bratton challenge into the back of Mo Touré, who had just come on, resulted in a free kick just outside the box. Gents, and decent finish that.
Well, yeah, the free kick clambered into the wall, bounced back, and
Juan Day.
Yeah, it was a good shot. Tommy, I think, wasn't it reviewed? Because I think his view might have been slightly skewed. I think they thought an Adelaide player was slightly
just
offside.
Just give the goal.
But it was a very good finish.
That was rubbish.
Yep.
That just should have been a goal. Tommy had no chance. It was a wonderful, wonderful hit on the half volley. Couple of scary moments.
The subs started to come
in the next
on
few minutes.
With the likes of Harry coming on and Wood coming on. Who else came on?
It was only the two.
Yeah, just the two subs. Interesting when you can do up to five. But I'm not saying he had to do five. I'm not criticizing.
That's why he's not coach of the year.
That's, yeah. He had only made five.
That was
or four. Wood had a massive chance. He really had a great impact on the game. Races clear, beats his marker, squares the ball across, but it just... from what I can see from the replays, because it was up the other end from us, that it kind of went through Harry's legs. Just mistimed it.
Maybe a bit too much sauce on it
from
Pat Wood. And he did so well to recover. He had a bit of a slip, just that youthful exuberance that come on. But, Harry should have just tapped that in. Again, it would have been a sealer. Are we a bit worried, gents, about Patrick Wood's development next season behind Alfie, Bobo?
Well, that's if we
opportunities.
Keep. That's if we keep Bobo. Is that guaranteed?
That's true. That's true. But, you know, I think Pat's shown enough to, you know, tell a few other clubs that there might be some more minutes than a 5-10 minute cameo at the end of the game.
It might turn out to be like another Tilio going or another Jake Holman going, looking for other minutes, looking for more minutes.
Interesting to see how they balance that out. Because, we'd absolutely hate to lose him.
Were we happy with, speaking of the strikers, were we happy with Tommy Hewitt-Bell's performance on the weekend?
I am.
Yeah. I think so.
He looks like more, he's got a lot more confidence and just a lot more settled than when we saw him.
Well, that Olerus game. Yeah. A little bit chalk and cheese.
Against the Olerus,
Do you think
it was Tom Glover for the Olerus that day, wasn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, that's right. He was playing for Sydney FC, wasn't he? Yeah. So that makes sense. Look, obviously he didn't have as much to do as he did in the Brisbane game. That's for sure. I think he probably got caught on his heels. Yeah, probably got caught on his heels once or twice when he could have come out. But he managed the job. And again, he could do nothing for that goal. Would have been a clean sheet otherwise. No. It was a wonderful, wonderful hit.
Not on him.
Mm. No, absolutely not. Highlighted performances for you, gents. I mean, Luke Bratton was
immense. Everywhere. He was watching him. 1 minute he's dropping in deep, and then he's out on the right, and then left. It must be all the walking with golf or some of that. Keyson's so incredibly fit. So keep it up.
Yeah.
He was just. I think you said earlier tonight. I mean, we're talking with Redders, but how many Luke Braddons are allowed on the field? It's not fair.
That's right.
Mm.
That's
and right. Can thunder a goal in too. So
he was brilliant on the weekend again.
He is an absolute joy to watch. And I look forward to seeing a midfield three of Caceres, Bratton and O'Neill next year.
God, that's...
If only.
Wow.
That gives me the Pat Woods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
that's screw you, Pep Guardiola. That's midfield.
Costa had a strong game. Yes, he didn't put a ball in the back of the net, but but his runs forward and his threatening in the box led to those two pens.
It was the boots, I reckon. Mm. It was the fancy boots.
Was he new boots?
Just these like orange, I don't know what they were.
Who the hell looks expert. At football players' boots?
They all look the same to me.
Yeah,
no, because like
aren't they black and with laces?
Because I'm like blind, and with the wind and the rain, it was hard to see them make out the players. But every time he got the ball, he was gone. His positioning,
he ran
and
like
his,
the wind.
Yeah, he was outstanding.
And Benny Wallen had another strong game there, playing alongside Wilco. Another seamless.
When you don't notice your centre halves, you know they're doing a pretty good job. And that's what they do. You know, that's what they do.
They fly underneath the radar, don't they?
Tommy Juric was kept very, very quiet. I think he had one shot on goal, one header maybe. They were outstanding. Paolo Retre, I thought, was fantastic at right back. you know, he was furthest forward on a couple of occasions, which we found surprising. But, you know, even in the warm-up, he was practicing whipping crosses in from that right-hand side. And I just felt like they were we were very well drilled, a very well coached side, Sean.
Yes.
And it was just wonderful.
I'm going to struggle with these SFCU votes, though.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I refuse to take part. I'm not choosing favourites when I love them all equally.
I choose 12 players and give them all half a vote each.
Yeah, I actually went.
Rowdy would hate that.
I actually went 6 players for 1 vote, and I still feel bad for leaving a couple out.
Yeah.
So I gave Joel King and Luke Bratton 1 each. Bratz, I actually had 2, but then he gave that free kick away.
Yeah.
King, Bratton, Retrade, Costa, AC and Wilco.
Damn, did we even talk about Paolo Retre at right back being brilliant?
Yep, I just did.
But not how
you
good.
You wanted to elaborate more.
Just how good it was. Yeah. I want to add to it.
Please do.
It was excellent.
All right, and then moving on. Thank you for that, Joe. No, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that's it. That's all. Yeah, I just wanted to add to it. I wanted to praise him. I just wanted to celebrate him, all right, baby. Good.
Jump onto your SFCU votes then, James.
Wilco, because he was a brick wall. King, Bratton, Bobo.
Ooh.
Because he did a lot of really good hold up play and he was just very threatening. And
Bo.
ABJ.
Yeah, I thought ABJ had a
really well. Great link up play. But I want to put Paolo in there. I want to put Costa in there. Yeah. I don't want to put Alfie in there because I don't appreciate his second pen. Poor Alfie. And I didn't give Bobo any points when he missed that penalty against the Wanderers. So Sandra I'm just Corica treating them the same.
Yeah. Five.
Sandra for supporting Steve.
I'm going to say 1 each to our Socceroo players stepping in. So Paolo and who else is there? Wall and Tommy. 1 each.
Oh. See? What?
Yeah.
1 each to all of them.
And nice. And then 1 to King, 1 to Caceres, and then 1 to Bratz. And then I feel bad because I thought ABJ had a good game too.
I think everyone ABJ, played. he had a very good game.
Everyone, I feel bad.
Yeah. Rowdy, just give them all one. Everyone.
Half a point each.
Everyone.
Gentlemen, previewing our A-League soccer football versing final against Melbourne City on a particular day, sometime at the end of this week, on a
we think
undisclosed location, secret time. So yeah, it's going to be played this week. Time, day, apparently Sunday at like 4 o'clock. Previous results, we had the 3-2 early in the season. With I think they went up 3-0, and then we had a couple of late-ish goals. I think Jay McLaren, I think, got 2 in the night. I think that score flattered us
it's
a little
so
bit.
So useless without McLaren.
Yeah. Look, they are a little bit more impotent without them. But who's that young fella who got...
Kolakowski?
That's the one. I knew they ended off with a ski.
He was very impressive.
Yeah. And then we had the 2-2 draw with them. No 2-2 draw. What am I doing? That's the Adelaide one, Sean. Sorry, the 1-1 draw. Which I think
we
was
had that
one
draw
of our,
against them.
Yeah, at Leichhardt Oval, which I think was one of our best performances this year. My top three best performances
very
this
sad
year.
Result.
So we said last week, like with Adelaide, we had a loss, we had a win. We've had a loss against them. We've had a draw against them. We want to complete the set.
Very,
you know what I'm
like
saying?
Like we said to get the set. Like we said to Redders, obviously two very different teams going to be lining up against each other. City were, when they wanted to against MacArthur, they put their foot down and really drove the point home. They got 2 goals in 2 minutes. Apart from that, the first half, MacArthur, very unlucky not to be ahead. There was an outstanding goal line clearance from Nuno Reis. Which stopped them from going ahead 1-0 MacArthur. So, look, I don't, as James said, I don't think they've been really threatening too much and scary without McLaren. But also, you've got to take into account, you know, Connor Metcalf in the centre of the park, who is an outstanding midfielder. He'll be in the Oli Roux squad.
Do you think they've lost more with their three than we have?
Without offending our guys, I think they have. Like you said, Sean, that spine and Curtis Good as well is quite underrated. You know, former Premier League on the books of Newcastle United in the Premier League, and without some horrible run of injuries, he could have been, you know, a very regular Socceroo starter and still could now with this chance that he's been given. So, it fills me with confidence. Like I think with our defence, with Wilco, the way that Joel King's been playing, the way that Paolo slotted in and made that right wing back spot his own, I think the young boys will struggle against that defensive line.
Yep. And then with our experience up front, and you know, our defence starts with up front with the likes of Alfie and Costas and Bobo's pressing. So it'll be interesting what happens, where it gets played, how many the capacity is and all that. That might have something to do with, I wouldn't say betting because it's not about money, but who's going to go in as favourites. Our predicted lineup, do we just see it more or less a copy and paste?
Plus Ninko.
Plus, yeah, with Ninko as opposed to ABJ, which probably means Sagegic would drop off the bench, I'm guessing. So obviously Costa, Bobo and Alfie up front. And then we've got Ninko, Bratz and Caceres in the middle and Retre, King, Warland, Wilco, THB, which is a very strong lineup even after you have taken out those three Socceroo players. So it says a lot to the club about the depth and how important it is us staying in NPL1 in New South Wales football so they can get some good football when they're not in the senior squad. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I don't know if it's going to be a tight game or high-scoring game. Are they much of a different team in style about how they play compared to us?
Look, like I said, they've got that ability to just score goals very, very quickly. Interesting for them, the lineup they had again in the semi-final, not only those three players that we mentioned, but there was also no Andrew DeBoot and there was also no Craig Noon. You add those two players back into the side and all of a sudden you're injuries. A bit worried. Naboot was injured in the last game of the season and Noon, I believe, was also he was either ruled out in the warm-up or he was named on the bench but then didn't actually take part on the bench. Knowing Patrick Kisnorbo, I don't know Patrick Kisnorbo, but knowing his personality and his persona, with Craig Noon having signed with MacArthur for next year, I get a feeling that maybe Kisnorbo was making a bit of a point for that game.
You reckon?
I think so.
Even in a semi-final?
It's something he would do.
Really?
Yeah. I don't need you. Do.
Knockout elimination game. Yeah. He took a gamble. Wow.
Yeah.
You reckon?
I reckon.
You think about it. Every squad you pick is some He's sort a of a gamble bastard. In some way.
He's a
so.
Stubborn bastard.
Okay. Quite like him.
But interesting enough for them as well, they only made a couple of subs and they had a very, very young bench, very similar to our bench in the semi-final. So, look, you add Noon and Naboot to that Melbourne City lineup, and it's a different proposition.
I don't think Naboot will be back.
I'd be surprised if they put him straight into the starting side, having been out for
Impact
3 weeks. He's certainly capable, as is Craig Noon. We've dealt pretty well with them, apart from that game, Sean, you mentioned when we went down 3-0, I think they got the better of us.
Yes, Jamie McLaren for you. Yep.
So, it's going to be a great grand final.
Isn't it
just? Great grand final.
Wherever it's played.
Wherever it's played, whenever it's played, anywhere, anytime, as Brad said.
Shall we go to a score prediction?
Scared. Yeah, I'm scared. I hate grand finals.
What did Redis say? Redis said
2-0. Yeah. I think that's optimistic. I think they're too dangerous to not score against us. But good on him. I understand where he's coming from.
He's thinking about those sheets.
And he's not putting THB under the, you know.
True. Sacking him.
Look, I hate grand finals. I absolutely hate them. I hate one-off games.
Be a tense affair.
Give me first past the post. Yeah. 2-1.
In regular time?
I hope so. But I don't know. I hate this
we've got
shit.
We've got to work on Monday. I've got to get a flight to Queensland too. So
Yeah, good luck with that.
Hope it's regular time. Sean?
Yeah, I was going to say 2-1.
2-1 as well?
Yeah, 2-1. Yeah. I was thinking 2-1, and it's about time we win a grand final in regular time. I'll take them anyway they come, but yeah, 2-1.
We didn't win regular. Oh, no, we didn't
first
win
ever
regular.
One we didn't.
I am going to go against the grain and say 3-1 Sydney FC in regular time.
Oh, good on you. I like it.
I hate grand finals.
Yeah. Alfie to get 2.
Bye-bye one. All three set up by Barbarossas.
Yep, I'll take that.
Is one of them a pen?
And I'm just going to make a multi.
Let's hope we're all effing right. And whoever gets down there, bless you. And I hope that some can get down there. I know we've got a fair few fans in Melbourne as it is, so you guys definitely have to jump on and get some tickets to this game, wherever it is. Gents, I think that'll just about do us for the grand final preview. We will be back next week to review the grand final, and then we might have another pod or two up our sleeves before we take a bit of a break. But for now, everyone get excited. James, you excited?
No.
Nervous?
No. Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Not excited.
Anxious?
Yes.
Yes.
Sure. I'm pumped.
Pumped?
Can't wait for the weekend.
So yeah, did
you get that delivery you were waiting for?
What? No, James.
Ads?
I said to not speak about it on air. It's very personal.
Ooh. Uniqlo?
His penis pump.
Said not to speak about it.
Yeah, well, it's... Yeah. And I control the recording button.
I don't like the way that this pod's ending.
Clean it up, Jonathan.
Clean it.
I should just stop recording right now.
Like the sheets. Thank you for thank you for your listenership.
Sorry about Jonathan.
Yeah, sorry, I'm very unprofessional. And thanks once again to Sandra Corica.